My guest this week is a bacon aficionado, podcast host in his own right, and so much more. Neil Dudley is the VP of Sales at Peterson Natural Foods. On this episode, we dive into Bacon Bash that's coming up this fall, type 1 diabetics, and the keto diet. Enjoy.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.
Neil, thanks for coming on.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. I love this opportunity just to have a conversation with you and ultimately have a conversation with everybody that's listening. So
yeah,
for thanks sure. for having me. It's exciting.
Appreciate it. I think it'd be interesting to tell the listeners about Bacon Festival, what you guys have been doing at Peterson, and a little bit about yourself. We can start there and see where it takes us.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, maybe the best place to start is myself, right? So I was born and raised on a registered Hereford cattle operation, and my dream was I was going to be a rancher. Ended up going to school at Tech and graduating there, not knowing what I was going to do. I'm interviewed for a loan officer job, and then I got the opportunity to go to graduate school at Oklahoma State. So I did that, and really my only motivation for that was to rodeo somewhere. So I was a professional rodeo. So I did that. And then just to kind of speed the story up, I come back home, I go to work with my best friend, and now I'm selling bacon for a living. So that's where kind of how the whole thing comes around. And I would just say, if you're 15 to 25 and you think you know what you're going to be doing for a career, don't rule anything out.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree 100% with that. What kind of rodeo stuff were you doing back then?
I was a calf roper, so okay. I hauled my horse around and entered the rodeos. And the truth of it is, I was a marginal calf roper. I managed to win enough money so I could become a professional and say that, but I never did, let's say, excel.
Yeah.
Or I was really good in the practice pen, but I was not so great when it came down to the what do you say, when we're separating the men from the boys.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of always seem to end up in the boys' camp.
Yeah. I fall into that camp on a number of things. Yeah, for somebody that's never heard of the Bacon Bash, I think it'd be interesting to give us a couple minute overview of what that is, where it is, when it is type deal.
Yeah, I think maybe the best way to do it is something like this. See, we got bacon. That's something you'll hear a lot at Bacon Bash because it is all about bacon, beer, bands, and raising money for type 1 diabetes. And in a couple of different ways, really three different ways, we help type 1 diabetes. And then also another really close to our heart charity called Nikki Warms the Cold. And I hope that anybody listening, that didn't blow their eardrums out, because I want them to hear the rest of this stuff. I want to kind of tell the story of where Bacon Bash came from. So like I said, I'm a bacon salesman, Peterson Natural Farms. We sell a no nitrate, no sugar, humanely raised pigs, third party verified to be that. So we have a certain, I think, responsibility to give back and do some things that help others, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Making good bacon helps others, certainly, but how could we parlay that into more things that are good for other people? And the Bacon Bash idea was kind of born from some guys sitting around at a little bar in Cranfield's Gap called the Horny Toad. And the guys were Kent Wenzel, Scott Cooney, Cody Lane, which is the president of Peterson's, and Owen Carlson. So to put all those people in perspective, Owen is I guess, the founder with his wife of Nikki Warms the Cold, which is the one of the charities we support. Cody's the president of Peterson's. Scott Cooney, at the time, was the VP of operations at Peterson's. And Kent Winslow is just kind of a mad scientist type guy. He runs a meat market there in Hamilton, and he does all kinds of stuff. He goes and sells a lot of his products at gun shows, even really up here in the Metroplex, really all over Texas. So they're sitting around just talking, and they said, you know, we ought to throw a bacon party and raise some money for Nikki Warms the Cold, because we love you, Owen, and it'd be a good chance for Peterson's and this group to do something for others. Turns out I was getting married about that time, and my wife was coming to work, and she was running our marketing, and so we mentioned it to her, and she just kind of then grabbed that ball and took running, and that's in 2012. So we had the first one in 2012. I think we had like 12 cook teams. And the premise of it is we get teams to come cook bacon dishes. We give them 15 pounds of bacon, and the rules are make something. So they're just dream it up, make it. We've had everything from praline bacon rum ice cream to cheese bacon cheeseburgers to a rack of lamb wrapped in bacon to bacon whiskey with a bacon dipper. You know, I mean, it's just the innovative dishes that these backyard chefs, professional chefs, first-time chefs do. It just makes the event so dynamic and a lot of fun. So that first one was in 2012. We had the 12 people. Now we're, I guess, rolling into this will be either the 7th or 8th annual Bacon Bash. It's gone from about 250 people that first time, if that, to about 2,500 people now. And people like Jordan Spieth have happened to be there. Your friend, you know, we have a lot of business people that come get involved. And we really couldn't do it without them. The sponsors, the guys and gals that come bid on the auction items. I mean, that's where we raise the money.
Yeah.
So I think we're up to over $300,000 given to these charities this time. Is any of that making sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Tell us a little bit about what is Nikki Warms the Cold for somebody that's never heard of it. Yeah,
sure. I was thinking about how could I plug the website for them, but I think you could probably just Google Nikki, N-I-K-I, Warms the Cold, and get some more information. But what I know about it is, and what I've been involved with it is, they have a heart for the needy in our state, really in the world, but they have the most effect on those in the state.
Yeah.
The story is, Nikki, which is Owen and Sandy's daughter, accidentally passed away. And before that happened, she was going to school in Austin. And before that happened, she would just carry this stuff around in her car. And if she see homeless people, she'd give them a coat or a blanket or
there's a lot of them in Austin.
Yeah. So they kind of picked that up after that as a way to keep her memory alive, and have every Thanksgiving day go down to Austin and pass out coats, socks, gloves, crackers, all kinds. And I've been with them on a couple of those. And if you just really want to have that feeling of fulfillment from just doing something for somebody that can't do it for themselves, and see what that really does in their life, that I really encourage anybody to try to be a part of that. Even if it's not with Nikki Warms the Cold, just in your own personal. They do these things where we'll just carry around these bags that we call them. Sandy calls them a special word, and I can't think of it off the top of my word. It's kind of like a we love you bag or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen those.
You just see anybody, you just hand it to them. And it has like a McDonald's $15 meal card in there, you know. So just anything that can kind of give somebody a, hey, you know, God loves you, we love you. Go, you know, have a good day today. And you never know when that one gesture might pick somebody right up off the ground and get them back into really a life that is not nearly as downtrodden as what it might be. Yeah. You're sleeping out on benches and that kind of thing.
And the other main causes around type 1 diabetics, is that intertwined with somebody else within that group, or how did that kind of become one of the pillars of the Bacon Bash?
Well, and just a quick tangent.
Yeah, for sure.
Bacon Bash, Texas is or has been at least misassociated with another event called Bacon, maybe Bacon Fest, or yeah, it's Bacon Fest in Bandera, but somebody wrote about it and said a Bacon Bash in Texas. So a lot of people are getting confused
yeah.
that Bacon Bash, Texas was associated with this Bacon Fest or Bacon Bash in Bandera, in which they take wild pigs, they turn them loose in a pen, and they catch them, and then they go kill them. And so that's not something that we do at Bacon Bash, and it's certainly not something that, you know, you're going to be witnessing if you come to Bacon Bash. So tell your friends, anybody that tells you don't come to Bacon Bash because we're cruel to animals, just make sure you let them know, well, that's just, you're just confused because that's not us.
That is good to know.
Okay, yeah. So now back from the tangent, we want to talk about type 1 diabetes and how that, so Owen and Sandy kind of with the Nicky Worms of Cold got it. Well, then they had a niece that was, her name was Lexi Finstad. I always like to bring their names up just because it's all about them, their memory, what they meant to us, and then so on and so on with those kids we're helping now and into the future. It's just about remembering them as well. So Lexi had type 1, and she would go to this camp called Camp Sweeney. It's up here in North Texas. I can't remember exactly where, but anyways, you could Google Camp Sweeney. So she would go there, and Nicky Worms the Cold would kind of sponsor her or make sure she had the funds to go. And we thought, well, you know, we're making no sugar bacon. And doesn't that tie really well with type 1 and that sugar is a really important piece of a type 1 diabetic's life to pay attention to and to kind of try to stay away from. So we started with this thing, started kind of bubbling, and about the fourth year, we, you know, bam, one of those years we hit like $100,000. What are we going to do with this? So we started saying, well, let's set up some parameters and what are some other things we can do. So we give a percentage to Nicky Worms of Cold. We take a percentage and we provide scholarships for kiddos that might need continuous glucose monitoring systems. Dexcom makes one. There's another company called PumpSit. But we will provide the monies to them so they can get their insulin, so they can get the pump. And there's a bit of an application that you got to go through to get that, but that's a piece of it. And then we also provide scholarships and funds for people to go to camp to learn about, you know, hey, there's other people that have type 1 diabetes. I'm not the only kid in the world that has to prick their finger and get and do this. So, wow, I'm not alone. And that camp really spurs them on to a lot of times just having a community to be a part of and understand, hey, it's type 1's, yeah, it's kind of this thing that I don't like to have to deal with, but a lot of people deal with it. And you can find a lot of really successful people with type 1.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And through this charity, we've met a lot of them. So, because they're all passionate about, you know, helping those. And then we take a little piece and we just give it to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
Gotcha. For somebody that might not be in Texas or can't make the Bacon Bash, where are they able to donate if they feel so inclined? Do they just go to the Bacon Bash website, or what's the easiest way to go about doing that?
Yeah, I would say www.baconbashtexas.com. You can go on there and just donate.
Yeah.
There's a donate button. Now, we're looking for teams. So, I mean, there's one way to get involved, become a team. And we pay pretty good. The first place team will win $4,000. And it's not all that hard. I keep waiting on somebody to do this. Nobody's done it yet. And I always say it, so I don't even feel bad about saying it. When is a team going to just cook a slice of bacon and turn that in? That's your competition. I mean, you're kind of messing bacon up, putting it with other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it, I think the teams are a huge part of the success of the event. So I always like to kind of plug, hey, come be a part, be a team. You know, it's not that we expect or we need our teams to kind of feed the people. That's one of the most unique things about it is you can come, pay your $75 to get in, $50 if you buy it early ticket, and you're in. You get to eat all these dishes from all these different teams. You go right up to the beer station. They just hand you a couple beers. There's no more money you're going to have to shell out. Now, of course, we're going to beg you to buy some cards. We're there to raise money. We're going to ask you to go buy merch. We're going to ask you to bid on auction items. But to just come experience and enjoy it and have a good time, I don't think there's a better $75 or $50 spent. You're going to get to hear some really great bands. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar, if you guys are familiar with the Copper Chief, Copper Chief. They've been on a TV show recently. They're a really good kind of Austin-based group. We have a bunch of other kind of local guys that are percolating. A few of the people that have been at Bacon Bash have gone on now and kind of signed record deals and doing some pretty cool stuff.
That's awesome. So Mike mentioned the keto diet is kind of wrapped up in this, or maybe you're on the keto diet. Can you kind of explain how that ties into this whole deal and your take on that whole thing?
Yeah. Well, and let's don't slide past Mike much, because Mike McAuliffe, which you've had on your podcast.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, the guy is just really an awesome person, you know, so he's helped us out at Bacon Bash in a lot of ways, not the least of which is he's a final table judge. So
okay.
He kind of sets up there. We bring the top 10 dishes to him and he puts his kind of stamp of approval on them.
Yeah.
And then through that, we managed to pick the winner. And really, everybody's a winner, but only one person gets to take the big check home.
Yeah.
And so Mike is just a great champion for Bacon Bash, and we appreciate that so much. Him introducing us and then me getting a chance to just get this out to your audience is just so valuable.
Absolutely.
Now, to circle back to the keto diet or what that is, I don't know how far we want to dive. How familiar are you with it? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a pretty basic understanding. I mean, you're essentially taking out carbs and sugar, correct?
Yeah. So it's ketogenic, or running your body off of ketones instead of glucose.
Yeah.
And I do abide by the keto diet, let's say, and there's, I guess, a million different levels. You'll hear it out there or find it on social media. Somebody says, well, I do dirty keto, or I do Whole 30. And there's kind of a lot of ways to get your body into ketosis. And really all that means is you have to keep the carbs and sugar away long enough that your body says, oh, I need fuel. I don't have it. I'm going to start converting fat or using fat that you're just eating. Really, it's more about fat than anything. Good quality fat, avocados, beef, ribeyes, good proteins, good fat. You'll see a lot of it is kind of acronymed as LCHF, which is low carb, high fat. Well, that's kind of the mantra for, let's say, keto or that lifestyle. And to me, it just makes me feel good. If I'm running off of fat instead of glucose, I feel more alert. I feel more, I just healthier.
Yeah. How did you come across that, or when did you kind of transfer over to that? Just because a lot of things that you read online says it's like a short-term diet, or it's like a do it for a month, kind of like the Whole 30 deal.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're doing it full time. So I was just curious.
Well, I should probably clarify that. I wouldn't say that I'm a full time.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
And it's really because I'm a sugar addict. I mean,
yeah, you did have a candy wrapper in your hat.
Yeah, that's right. So you think about addiction. I think we're all addicted to one thing or another. And the severity of it is a lot of times misinterpreted. You know, maybe a heroin addict has a lot more effect in their life, or let's just say kind of bad time effect from that addiction. But I would argue that being addicted to sugar is a lot the same, because I know it's not good for me. I know I feel better when I'm eating a different way, or if I'm paying attention to that, trying to abide by the rules, but, you know, just really abide by the rules of, I want to feel as good as I can, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I will not have the willpower one day and I'll get a pizza, you know, and then the next day I'm like, oh yeah, well, I got one more day. I'll get that bag of Skittles, you know, and then it's just off the wagon, right? And that's just addiction. That's how addiction works. And it's how our brains are screwed up. And everybody's are that way. I always get so sad when people frown on any kind of addiction, or that, you know, that there's something really wrong with those people. I think they're just hypocritical, because you've got one too. Yours just doesn't get highlighted as much as the others.
Yeah. Probably some truth there.
Yeah, at least in my perspective, right? Yeah. So the way I got into keto was selling bacon and no sugar bacon and running the business that we run. I think it's important. I believe I can't know what the consumer is thinking or experiencing if I'm not involved in that community. So I just try to get involved. And so I've done multiple Whole30s so I could understand really what's that about, what kind of meal prep does it take, what kind of real willpower are you going to need to employ for that first amount of time while you're kind of getting yourself weaned off all these things, and even just changing your mindset towards food. Ultimately, I like cheese more than potatoes, and that's the difference. If I had to cut one out, I'd rather cut out potatoes. And in on the Whole30, or if you kind of follow on that Whole30 all the time, you're kind of, let's say, allowed potatoes, white potatoes, sweet potatoes. Ketogenic, you got to stay away from those, because those carbs will just convert to glucose and you're not able to get into ketosis and stay into ketosis. But you can't have hard cheese, and I like hard cheese more than potatoes. So that's why I kind of most often go towards the ketogenic or keto diet.
Very interesting. To pivot a little bit, tell us a little bit about Peterson Natural Foods. You've talked a little bit about it, but like, where can people find it? Is it in most grocery stores? What is kind of the company culture and the company like?
Oh, see, this is the long story, because this company is so dear to me and interesting in my mind. We're solely owned by one guy. So I don't own any of the company. I run it with my wife, my best friend since kindergarten. He's the president. He's my boss. You know, and I think we're about now 17, 18 years working in the company together. We've had several kind of heated conversations, but somebody has to have the biggest stick. So he has the biggest stick, and I'm willing, you know, that's fine with me. I will argue vehemently, this is what I think we should do, try to convince him. If it just turns out we can't get on the same page, which I think rarely has happened. I'm reading a book right now called, or listening to it on Audible, called Nonviolent Communication. I love it. I'm listening to it multiple times, really. If you're willing to communicate with somebody and care about them, you're probably not ever going to have these scenarios where you both can't be happy. And I think that's what the culture we try to have at the company. And this is the problem with me telling this story, is I just start going all kinds of different ways. Who's going to be able to follow this if they've never heard of Peterson's? So where I was solely owned by one guy. I'm working in the business with my best friend since kindergarten, my wife, his wife. This is interesting. He, the president of the company, and his wife, which she's runs our HR and insurance and kind of keeps that stuff in order, they sit in the same office. I mean, literally just like we are right here.
Yeah.
And that's, you got to think there's something special about those two to be married and working together and sitting in the same office. So I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody else that actually pulled that off. So I think that tells a lot about Petersen's and the people that are kind of running it. We have right at 100 employees today. When I started, we had like 10. So we've got to see a lot of life and growth and interesting dynamics in the market change. We first, I guess Petersen's as just an umbrella over Petersen's is this idea that we believe in sustainable raising and humane treatment of animals, and we believe in quality, minimal ingredients. So any product of ours you ever look at, you should be able to read every word, understand the word. Like we use celery, rosemary, citrus, pomegranate. Those are the kind of ingredients outside of pork, water, salt, you know. So yeah. Really just something that's very important to us, and it's very important to our consumers, and those people are really ultimately who we care about the most. Yeah.
It sounds like most traditional vegan has a lot of additives, and you guys have gone the exact opposite direction.
Right. Almost everything. Well, over time, which it was a necessity early on to figure out how we're going to get food to last longer because we're trying, you know, the population's growing. Well, okay, so we can use
this. Got to be at the store longer.
Yeah. Nitrite, you know, has been figured out will extend the shelf life. Erythorbate does the same thing. Sodium lactate and phosphate will hold water. So, you know, eventually there's these things where companies, instead of just saying, I want the best product, they start saying, well, I want the most profit, you know. And if you can sell water instead of ham or bacon, then actually water's a lot cheaper than meat. So, hey, guess what? We're making more money that way. We just stay away from all that. We're not using any of those kind of ingredients. And it's paid off. Let's say 18 years ago, maybe even 15, we were kind of traveling around trying to peddle these products to people. And Whole Foods was one of the early adopters. H-E-B Central Market's been one of our customers forever, since I came along. And I probably, the company had been around for a few years before I got there. But I would say we were in a little plant, a little what used to be a deer processing plant and making bacon and stuff. And well, it burnt down. Think electrical fire burnt that down. So then they moved to another different little deer processing plant. Well, lightning struck it and it burned down. You know, so then
you guys are pretty lucky.
Yeah. Which I wasn't around during any of this time. So I wasn't battling to save the company in those times. So those people get a lot of credit for even having the sight, what I call foresight to say, you know, we're still doing a thing that is going to be important to people. It's going to be valuable to us. Let's keep it alive. So this is a kind of a neat story. And so Cody, so I was at Oklahoma State doing the rodeo thing, grad school, studying ag economics, which I wish I would have studied management. I think I might have actually ended up with a degree, but I ended up dropping out and not doing it. I think I had 6 hours left in a thesis, you know. I mean, it's like, geez, man, you could have the paper. Although, you know, I don't know. That's another podcast. Is the paper really worth anything? So he is back home. He went to A&M. Well, he married his high school sweetheart, and they got pregnant, fixing to have a baby. Well, he is just like me. We both just grew up cowboy dads and with just cattle and horses, and that's what we did. So he had moved back home, was doing day work, $100 a day or something, you know, go work cattle for these people. And you didn't know if there's going to be anybody needing you tomorrow or not. So it was really feast and famine kind of work. She got pregnant. I think the way he says it is, she looked at him and said, you need to get a job. So I don't know if that's exactly how it worked, but turns out that one plant had burnt down. They were advertising for some help at Petersen's, and he applied for the job, and the job he applied for was a marketing position because he had graduated with a food and fiber marketing degree and kind of fit what he had learned there at A&M. Went and interviewed, got hired, came to work the first day, and they said, well, hey, man, we're so glad you showed up, but we're just going to change one quick thing. You're not going to be doing the marketing. We need you to be in charge of our quality assurance. And being the guy he is, he said, okay, you know, I mean, whatever, I'm here to work. Turns out he didn't know a damn thing about quality assurance, yeah. You know. So
neither do
he,
I.
He immediately called some professors down at A&M and got some help. You know, there's where the paper comes in handy. Yeah. Just those relationships you have.
Absolutely.
So they came up. He learned all about HACCP, GMPs, SSOPs, the United States Department of Agricultural Inspection Service. So he kind of had to set all that up for this new plant. So that was a great education for him. It put him in a really good spot to understand what it took to have a production plant, a meat production plant.
Yeah.
And so over that first year, he's kind of running the quality, helping run the plant, getting out and selling with some of the other guys, you know, some of the 10 people, two or three of them were doing those things, running the plant and selling. And well, in a year's time, they kind of had a mutiny because the guy that was running it was just, I don't know, let's just say shady. And well, the guy that owns the company, which still owns it today, heard about this. And he said, well, let me come. Don't quit. I hear everybody's fixing to quit. Tell them don't quit. I'm coming. And let's talk about it. Well, anyways, he gets there and he says, well, Cody, what's it going to take for you to stay? I mean, I can't have everybody quitting. What would it take for you to stay? And Cody just said, well, I'd have to be the boss. And the owner of the company looked at him and said, okay. And so he came back again and let go of the current president, made Cody the president. So in a year's time, a guy went from day working guy to president of a food, all natural bacon, sausage, ham, fresh pork company. So to me, that's just so impressive. He's, you know, aside from being my friend forever, he's just really sharp, good guy. And about that time, I'd kind of quit grad school and was back home working on the ranch, welding pins and doing stuff for my dad. He called or I called him. I don't know. Somehow or another, we were talking. He said, well, hey, I just got made president over here at this company. Why don't you come go to work for me? And I said, well, you know, I was thinking about doing something besides this. I'm talking to another kind of guy that raises cattle. I might go work there. Well, I'll come interview over at Peterson's too. And, you know, it was a pretty easy decision, really. I'm like, I can go work for these people I don't know anything about, or I can come over here and go to work for Cody, which there wasn't any money in it. I mean, I probably made more money doing the ranch work for my dad. But anyways, they hired me, and he put me in as the QA guy right first thing. He said, okay, you got to learn HACCP, all these different pieces of the puzzle. So I went to just figured all that out. Then I kind of started working, you know, in the plant. I don't even know why I call it any of that, because we were doing everything. I mean, we would be standing back there making the bacon, loading it on the truck. One of us would paper, rock, scissors, who had to drive this time, and then we'd go deliver. You know, so we were driving all around Texas in this little bobtail truck delivering bacon. And as we're going, if we saw a grocery store of any kind, we'd just pull over and go in there. You know, we're the delivery trucks out there in the parking lot. Any chance you'd be interested in this bacon? It's no nitrates. It's uncured, which at the time this was percolating a little bit. Uncured was kind of this thing that people were like, what is that? One, I guess, insight is, I mean, and tell me to slow down too. I don't think I'm letting you say anything, but I just get that away, especially about the company, because you probably have that feeling about your career and what you're doing. You know, it's just like, man, I know everything there is to know about this because I was there. I did it, you know? So maybe I'll just take a breath and slow down. And
I think we can wrap up here with a couple questions. We didn't cover when exactly is the Bacon Bash. It's in October, but what day specifically for the listener?
October the 19th.
All right.
Starts at 4:00 p.m., goes to 11 p.m. and on. Cranfield's Gap, just in case we didn't put that out there. It is a little bit of a drive out into the country, but I think that's another piece of the ambiance of the event. Is you just aren't going to get this anywhere else. I mean, it's a one-of-a-kind experience that I highly recommend you putting it on the calendar and going and checking it out. You'll probably bump into a lot of people that this is their fifth, sixth time being there, and we've only done it seven or eight. So
that's awesome.
I think once you come one time, it starts turning into one of those things. You're like, hey, man, this is a, we're going to make sure we do this every year.
Every fall. I don't know why I have not been asking this question, but how do you stay healthy, like, given your busy schedule? I mean, obviously, you're doing the keto diet, but any other health secrets there besides?
Well, I think genetically I got lucky.
Yeah.
I've kind of just have good genetics where I don't battle, overweight or getting overweight. Now, is my heart in shape? I don't know. Not right now today. What I kind of add keto to some exercise, and what works best for me usually is an hour over lunch. I'll just go to the gym or put on the running shoes and take off down the Caliche Road and just get my heart rate up. Anybody that has worked out or does or is kind of like addicted to working out, you know, I think that feeling is just really awesome. Once you get 10 steps into it and you're past this, oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah. Now you're into it. It just cleans you up. I think your blood pumping through your body fast cleans your body up and just gets you feeling better. So, you know, that really didn't answer your question, but that's,
yeah, it did.
I think some physical activity, get that heart pumping hard for 10, 15 minutes. And that does it for me, unfortunately. Yeah. And even ranching and cowboying will do that daily.
Yeah.
Just riding a horse is a good workout.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't do that. So I'm a lot of times just sitting in the car or behind the desk. And so I need a little bit of something else. You know, you kind of have to put in the
extra time.
Yeah.
It sounds like you spend a ton of time in the car, as do I. I mean, have you been listening to any good podcasts or audiobooks?
Yeah, well, just recently I've been checking out this really cool podcast called The Healthy Conversation. And but I have enjoyed two or three of your episodes. Mike, Ryan Vinson. There was one other one. Oh, the other chef that you interviewed.
Lanny.
Yeah. Which I just want to talk to that guy so bad because he has this kind of perspective about that I kind of share. And, you know, I'm moving to organic. I want to have these things offered to my customers that I know they're looking for, or at least I'm looking for, right? And, you know, I think there's so much valuable in business. Valuable, that didn't make any sense. There's so much value in business in just saying, what do I want that I can't get and how do I get it for myself? And guess what? There's probably a lot of other people looking for that same thing. So it makes for a really kind of nice way of getting into an entrepreneurial spirit or even starting your own business is just think, what do I want and how could I get it for myself? And are there any others that might, you know, sometimes that works easy, sometimes not so easy.
Yeah, a lot of good companies have been built on that premise alone.
Yep. No, don't let me, I do want to talk about a couple other podcasts because they've been really valuable to me. And I think it's for anybody listening, your podcast certainly, but also if you want to listen to about four episodes of Gary Vaynerchuk, you'll hear everything that he's ever going to say, but it'll all be good. And you can kind of circle back once in a while. So I would recommend the Gary V Experience and also Tim Ferriss. I think both of those guys, I hate doing it a little bit because they're so popular already.
Yeah,
there's probably a reason they're so popular. Yeah. They've provided a lot of value to me. And I would say, you know, if you haven't already gone by and checked those guys out, do that. Maybe a little lesser known guys, Kevin Rose. And then for pure entertainment, I say Rhinestones, Cocaine and Rhinestones, which is a guy, Tyler Mahan Co., and he just talked about country music, the 20th century stories of country music. That was really enjoyable for entertainment. And also Armchair Expert, Dax Shepard. I listened to that one too. Some of those guests are really interesting in what they've done and how they approach it. And I like Dax too because he's kind of a recovering alcoholic and addict. And I think there's a lot of parallels for me and anybody to hear that and to understand, you know what, I don't have problems with alcohol or drugs or porn or whatever, you know, pick any one of these things that you can get really off the rails on. Luckily, but I do have problems with, maybe it's even just communicating well with my wife. You know, anytime she kind of ticks up this thing in my brain, then, you know, it's like it pushed a button for me and I want to say, what did I do so wrong? Why do, you know, it's really not about me. It's just, it's her. It's just, and it's fine, right? So all those things you can learn. I've learned a lot, and I think a lot, everybody can.
I think that's a good place to end it. Neil, I appreciate you coming on. Hi, everyone. It's Matt. Thanks again for tuning in to Healthy Conversations. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, or write a quick review. If you really loved it, share the episode on social media. It really helps our iTunes ranking. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.